Crack Spines, where every book is a survival manual if you read it good, and we lied to you. That's right, listeners, we fucking lied.
We did, and we rejoiced over it.
Yes, you may recall how excited we were 1 or 2 weeks ago about finally knowing what our next book was going to be ahead of time so that we could finally, tell you what it was. And you could read along with us and we could all just share that moment together. But...
oh, we were smug.
We were so smug. And our hubris has done us in at last. We are not doing The Indifferent Stars Above, the harrowing saga of
But for a very good reason. One of us has a better reason than the other. And I'm going to say my reason is
better. Okay, I was going to say, because my... you know what? Why don't you tell us your reason first, Sarah? Your very, very good reason for why...
No, I want you to go with your reason so that my reason seems all the better in comparison.
Well, my reason is that I'm currently preparing for a big week-long trip to Hawaii with my family and spending all of my time packing and getting ready and just no time at all for starving in the mountains.
Uh-huh, cool. So your problem is that you're a little crunched for time because you're going to Hawaii, a famously good place. I unfortunately didn't have time to finish the book, although we both are about, what, we're both basically 100, 200 pages in. We just wanted, it's just like a good book, so we wanted to do it justice.
Yeah.
I unfortunately, I was really busy with schoolwork, and then when I stopped being busy with schoolwork, I started being busy with horrific diarrhea and just the need to be unconscious for as much of my time as I could be so that I would stop pooping. So, one of us...
Wait. Okay, actually, Sarah, I just had a really good idea for what this episode should actually be about this time, right? You're a nursing student.
Nope.
You know about medicine. Mm. Tell us about diarrhea.
I can tell you a lot about diarrhea, because I can tell you that nursing is about 50% just sort of looking at what came out. And if it hasn't come out, why? And if it has come out, in what way did it come out? And I can tell you... with no details, I wish mine was coming out differently. I literally have a Gatorade next to me, just so I don't get dehydrated. I've drunk a lot of Gatorade to maintain my electrolyte and fluid balance, and occasionally, I've taken my blood pressure to make sure that my volume of fluid is good. So that's where I'm at as a person, so that's why I couldn't finish the book.
Listen, Sarah.
But tell me more about how hard it is to pack a suitcase, Amelia.
I'm just saying, if you're pooping all the time, what do you do if not read a book?
I'm just saying, that's a very valid point. But, all I want to do is just watch dumb YouTube videos as I just sort of suffer.
Listen, Sarah, you can just say that you were too caught up in BuzzFeed Unsolved to read about these poor people suffering in real life. It's okay.
Actually,
maybe they should have done an episode on their ghosts.
It's weird. Well, I guess there's not really a mystery to solve there. You know, BuzzFeed Unsolved is like, oh, we'll never know the truth. This is like, we know the truth. It was bad.
Yeah, this is... they just show up and they're like, man, that was fucked up.
This week on BuzzFeed Unsolved, this is a pretty solved one, but we did just want to make some tasteless cannibalism jokes.
I know we've made, like, tasteless has been definitely a theme in our cannibalism joke repertoire.
Please, I'm going to interrupt you right now.
Maybe we should dial it back.
If you make a joke about taste and cannibalism, it's bad.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, that we should stop and we should be better people and that we should stop just... oh, I'm trying so hard not to make a cannibalism pun right now.
What's the pun that you think you shouldn't make but are going to make?
I mean, I was going to say we should stop really sinking our teeth into them, but we've also used that one. We already shot our wad on all the good cannibalism puns is the problem, and now we are living in a post-cannibalism pun society where everything is meaningless.
Yeah, we ate all the good fatty bits, and now we're just down to the grizzle.
You don't even like eating the fat, Sarah. You're such a fucking poser.
Hey, after enough starvation, it turns out you don't have any more food dislikes.
That's actually...
So,
you know, one little sneak, just a taste for what you can expect from
stop
our Indifferent Stars Above book. I can't stop. Apparently, you can't actually digest meat properly unless it has some fat in it, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, you'd be amazed the amount of things that need to be functioning in your body for you to be able to eat food good.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Why is it so complicated? Why can't I just eat pine needles?
You only have one stomach and not four. Herbivores have more?
Like the first place where God went wrong. Not the last, though. I should have had more stomachs and it was all downhill from there.
Four stomachs, four assholes, and always a surprise which one was going to be in use.
I don't think that cows have four assholes. I'm just going to tentatively say that.
Well, one of us is in nursing school.
We're very factual here on this podcast.
One of us is in nursing school and one of us is not, so who would know more? Hmm?
I've spent a lot of time hanging out with cows, Sarah. BLM land is just BLM land. They're everywhere. That's where people go to ranch their cows. I don't know if ranch is a verb, but I'm using it.
What the hell is BNL land? Bare Naked Ladies land?
BLM land. Bureau of Land Management. Sorry, I always am just like, I know it's not Black Lives Matter land. But it gets very confusing when you camp a lot and then you come back into society and you hear people talking about BLM and you're like, what, the Bureau did what now?
See, what's funny for me is BLM, my first thought is BM, which is bowel movements, and then I'm like, what the hell is the M? The L. God, the L.
Liquid.
Bowel liquid movements. I don't like that.
Bowel libido movements.
Luscious? Anyway.
So we're not talking about the indifferent stars above this week. We're just talking about Sarah's poop, apparently. But no, we're talking about
not
other
mine.
Things.
Just the concept of poop. Or if you wanted to do something else, we could do that as well.
I mean, did you have... did you have things to say about the general concept of poop, Sarah?
I mean, Amelia, literally always. But we'll make that a full episode. We'll never make that a full episode. Actually, I don't want to make that promise. We most likely
we
will not do...
Will.
A full.
No,
the thing is, it's really interesting. But it is also poop. So we should probably just sort of segregate it to its own episode that's just called This is the Episode About Poop. And then people can opt in or out as they choose.
Oh, this is my nightmare. Okay.
Well, do you want to hear about someone else's nightmare? Good segue, Sarah.
That's a really good segue. Yes. So we are, since we're not going to be talking about the indifferent stars above, we thought that we might bring you a different mountain pass disaster incident. Sarah, do you want to take it from here?
Yes. So, I have been on a little bit of a reading kick about horrible times in the mountains. And so I picked up Dead Mountain,
the untrue story. We just lied.
We made some stuff up and it was very good. 270 pages. It's a fantasy novel.
Tell me about the Dyatlov Pass incident. Is that what it was?
Dyatlov? It's Russian.
Did you look it up, how to say it?
No, Amelia. I was dying. I didn't look up anything except,
Sarah,
why my poop do that?
Yeah, you pooped slightly more than usual, okay? You weren't, like, laid up due to starvation and hypothermia.
Well, I was mildly uncomfortable and it sucked.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. That's the most valid thing in the world. Anyway, these people died in the mountains. I know about suffering. So
one quick thing. I have not read this book, and Sarah has.
No.
So you're just gonna tell me a bunch of cool facts. I've heard about it, though. My brother mentioned it to me, because he's, like, really big into Russian stuff. Do you like how I didn't say dick hard because he's my brother? That was my immediate... That was what I reached for, but I was like, no, perhaps not.
What's fantastic is that, come editing time, you will have said dick hard.
Yeah, I know, but not in the exact context, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
Or
so,
maybe.
Tell me particularly what you know about it, if anything. If any fact, except your brother's hardness. Tell me, Amelia.
Just give me a minute. So, I know that it's about these hikers somewhere in Russia who went up over this pass, and I'm not sure if people knew that there was something weird about it beforehand, or whether this was the incident that kind of caused a lot of the local sort of mythology about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they went up into this pass, And I'm pretty sure just like the first night or within a few nights, some really weird stuff happened, and they were all found dead afterwards under really mysterious circumstances where they had like all ran out of their tents suddenly, or and there was just like all this weird information that didn't quite fit together. And so, I think it's still, they're not sure what happened.
Yes. That is a pretty good summary. A bunch of Russian hikers, almost like 8 out of 9 of them were college students. One was a hiking guide who was going with them, who was like a 38-year-old, who suffered not only death, but also having to hang out with some 20-somethings the last week of his life.
God, a fate worse then, right?
Oh my God, you couldn't pay me. To die in the mountains.
You couldn't pay me a 20-year-old to hang out with other 20-year-olds. Yeah, that's actually really true.
You couldn't pay me to hang out with eager college students who were sporty and just trying to experience the world. Like, ugh, you know?
Yeah, God.
So, yeah, they went up into the Russian Ural Mountains, which is, like, apparently not quite in Siberia, but emotionally... it's in Siberia, you know?
Whenever you get, like, close enough to Siberia at that point, it's like, well, you're pretty much in Siberia.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll be like, I bet Siberia, like, isn't as bad as they say. And then, like, I'll learn anything about Siberia, and I'll be like, people who live there are so brave, or they had no choice.
Yeah. Whatever made you think that it wasn't as bad as people say?
Well, sometimes people are like, you couldn't pay me to live in North Dakota or something. And I was like, that was very beautiful when we were up that way. You know, I bet it's beautiful. I bet, if nothing else, Siberia, there's probably a point where you go like, this is fucking nice.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it sounds super beautiful. Would not like to live there or perhaps even exist there. But...
yeah. But on the other hand, it is 80 degrees with full humidity today in Virginia. So yeah, fuck it. Let's go to Siberia. I have underboob sweat, and it's October.
Ugh, God.
Yeah.
So what happened to these other poor, peppy college students and their sad grandpa, when they went to Siberia?
They wanted to become grade 3 hikers, which meant that they would be authorized to lead other people in hiking expeditions. So they're really experienced hikers. Grade 2 is like, you know... I don't even know if we have that in the United States. I assume we do. But it's like when my cousin was like, I'm going to go down these, like, this class 5 rapids because I need to prove that I'm really good at rapids. And I was like, you do you, Sam. That's fucking nuts. That's a pointless anecdote that added nothing to this. But just sort of humble brag that my cousin is very good at whitewater rafting.
Yeah, he sure do know how to hop into an inflatable tube and just... I don't know what rafting is.
Yeah, I wanted to see you trying to... You want to explain what mountaineering is?
You climb a mountain real good. Sometimes there's rope involved.
You are correct. Sometimes, though, there's not.
I mean, the thing is I'm not wrong.
You're not.
Except in this case, they didn't... Except in this case, they didn't climb the mountain real good, it seems.
Hey, it might not have been their fault. So these are some experienced hikers. They're looking to get basically the highest credation that you can get while hiking. There's 7 women, 2 men, and Yuri Yudin, who actually is the 10th member of the expedition who had to turn back before they reached the fatal pass because he had chronic rheumatism, which is basically like arthritis. It's an autoimmune disease. It like makes your joints flame up. And he was just like, I can't walk up the mountain like this, which...
I mean, props to him for, like, even trying, though. If I had a condition like that, I'd probably be like, finally, an excuse to just lie around at home all day.
Yeah, well, I always... He is featured in this book. The author got an interview with him because he's still alive. And emotionally, that's just gotta be weird, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
Because everyone else died. They were all, like, they're all pretty young, too. 21, 20, 23. Again, like, the 38-year-old man is the oldest, and that's pretty young. I think, in fact, every single person was younger than the two of us. Oh my God. Also, unrelated, I was at a 7-Eleven the other day, and I saw a sign that said if you were born on this day or after this day in 1997, you cannot purchase alcohol. And I thought, oh my god, there were people born in 1997 who could purchase alcohol.
I know, my tiny, teeny little baby brother can purchase alcohol.
He's so small!
I don't think he does, though. He's kind of lame, but...
He just reads Russian literature and... chess?
Then again, reading Russian literature does seem to be complemented pretty well by, you know, a nice cup of vodka.
Yeah. You want to say that again?
No, it was really a one-time thing.
Basically, they died, and we don't really know... I mean, we know why they died in the sense that we know what killed them. Cold, but three of them had severe trauma, probably from falling off of a ravine. One of them was partially decomposed in such a way that it made it appear like her tongue had been cut out. So either she decomposed that way or her tongue was cut out. A bunch of them were not dressed for the snow, so like no shoes or like one sock, wearing basically their undergarments, which, you know, their undergarments at this point were still long underwear, but that's like okay.
Still not ideal for a mountain pass in Siberia.
Still so less than ideal. They had matches, but they didn't appear to have started any fire that would have kept them warm. Like two of them started a small campfire, but clearly wasn't enough to have kept them warm, and if they'd been probably in a more clear state of mind, they would have just set a tree on fire, which didn't even occur to me as an option, which is, oh, that's cool. I could just, in a pinch, just set the whole tree on fire. Like, yeah, that's a good survival tip. Hey, survival tip, just set the whole forest on fire.
Yeah, first one in, like, who knows how many episodes.
Yeah, also, drink Gatorade when you're having any kind of diarrhea, nausea, or vomiting, because it'll help replenish your electrolytes and fluids, and that's really why diarrhea is such a big killer. Where was I? Death in the mountains, right?
Yes. So, why don't you tell us first, like, they were last seen then by their friend Yuri, who had to turn back?
Yes. They might have encountered some other people. I got the timeline a little confused, because I was not planning to do this book.
I will say, listeners, I did totally put Sarah on the spot to talk about this, because we were going to just sort of make a general mini-sode about how we weren't going to do the Indifferent Star stuff, and I was like, I really want to hear about the Creepy Mountain Russian Pass thing.
Yeah, because I was reading this book to see if we should do it for the podcast, and why I ultimately vetoed it, which I will say now on the podcast, is that I read it and I was like, this is really interesting, but it really feels like this could have just been an article, like a good long article, but like 50 pages, you know? The author, Donnie Icar, has basically three narratives that are going on in this book. One is the narrative chronologically of the events of the adventure. So in these alternating chapters, we'll be following the Dyatlov group. Then in alternating chapters, you'll have the story of the investigation that was going on at the time, and the different theories and the different, basically, like, took a long time. They found some of the bodies right away. Other bodies took weeks to find.
Why did they take so long to find?
Shitload of snow. I mean,
oh,
at one point, there is this, a new person takes over the investigation, and they're like, why are we using probes? Let's use metal detectors. And there's this very passive-aggressive telegram that someone basically sends back regarding this plan, which is like, human beings aren't made of metal. but they do try the metal detectors anyway, and whatever metal they might have had on them, like a watch or anything, it was not being able to be picked up, so they had to go back to probes, which, again, are just sticks. You stick in the snow, see if you hit anything. If you did, you dig to see what it was.
Dang.
Yeah, so it took a while to find. And these bodies were the ones that had fallen off the ravine, so they were a while away. And then the third plot line is the story of the author doing his investigations. And it just wasn't that interesting, except, I will say, I admired this man for doing this much investigation, considering, A, he is a Florida native, who went to the site where they died, which just sounds miserable, and he does not speak Russian, and all of his primary sources are in Russian.
That does seem like two very big sort of roadblocks. But on the other hand, he got out of Florida, so that's a plus.
He did, to move to Malibu, California, which definitely prepared him for the Russian winter.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, and honestly, if he... I feel bad saying this, but if he'd cut out all the parts featuring him, there would not have been that tremendous... That wouldn't have been that much of a loss, even though his sections do include interesting modern-day stuff about the continued myth of this party and what happened, and, like, was it a Russian government conspiracy, like, that came in? Did people, like, did the kids see something they shouldn't have seen, and were they killed? Snow Yeti. Was it Yeti? Probably not. Was it aliens? Probably not. Was it a weird, like, was it bomb testing? Which is, like, a theory because the clothes had apparently an abnormal amount of radiation. Although, you know, which is, like, this sort of interesting theory. But then it's like, well, he goes and he talks to radiation scientists and it's like, well, like, they had more than average radiation, but nowhere near the kind that you would start being concerned about. It's sort of like when we talked about the terror and about lead poisoning, and you were asking, do you think, you know, there's that theory that they died of lead poisoning, do you think that's true? And it was like, I mean, everyone was fucking lead poisoned, you know? It's not an abnormal, everyone was a little radiation poisoned. Yeah. It's like 1959, everyone has radiation.
What were the circumstances that they kind of discovered?
So, the mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
One, keep in mind for all of this that they're all very experienced hikers. So they shouldn't be making, which honestly, also, even if you weren't an experienced hiker, I wear both my shoes when I go outside. Like,
yeah. Yeah, generally. That's definitely the kind of mistake that, like, you wouldn't just make. It's right. Not a mistake, you know, there's like some, there's gotta be some reason for that.
Yes.
No one's that... It's not even stupidity. It's just, like, you wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that. It wouldn't even occur to you. And the terrors in the tent... The terrors. I'm not saying the terror. I'm saying rips. Rips. The rips in the tent.
We gotta stop doing this, man.
I brought it up this time.
Hey, my pitch for this mini-episode was that I just talk about my latest terror feelings.
And you know what? I was kind of okay with that. You know I love
you
the
were,
you
I was,
about the
I don't
terror.
Think anyone else is.
We're gonna have a fourth episode on the terror. Have we had a third episode on the terror? We will.
It feels like it.
I might watch the terror soon. I could tell you my feelings on it.
Oh. When?
Oh no. I was just throwing that out hypothetically. Fine, fuck you. While you're in Hawaii, I'll watch the terror.
No, but I kind of want to watch it with you.
Oh my god. Then I'll watch Black Sails.
Yes, there you go.
There we go. Spoiler, we're going to do Black Sails and Treasure Island soon.
But are we?
I'm telling you mysterious facts about death.
Yes, okay.
So, experienced hikers, but they left their one tent without their shoes in the middle of a massive snowstorm with crazy winds. Two, there were rips found in their tent, which people thought was due to wind. Because, you know, if the wind's that high, yeah, it's an old tent, it'll rip, it'll tear. But people analyzing it, I think actually it was like a woman who was like a textile expert, which like at some point we're gonna talk about like the fascinating history of textiles and how it's an understudied science and history, but it's so cool. But she was like, yeah, that's not a natural rip. There's pretty much no way it could rip across the different stitches like that. That is a tear from a thing, like a knife or a claw. So there's a brief theory of bear attack, but then there's like no evidence of bears in the area at that time, and it appeared that the tent had been cut open from the inside, which is mysterious, right?
Yeah.
So almost, which if you pair that with their state of clothing that they were found in, that seems like people so desperate to get out of the tent that they were literally cutting their way out with a knife. We've got other things. There's other mysterious things, but I'll be real, a lot of those mysterious things can be attributed to the fact that they were dying in the snow. Like, for example, the two of them died around a very small campfire. They're the remnants of a very small campfire that they'd made while outside, right next to a bunch of trees they could have burned, and they would have known about that as a survival thing. You know, it's so ingrained to bring matches with you. Like, they sewed matches into their clothing so they could always start a fire.
Wow.
And so the thing was, like, why didn't they just set the trees on fire? Because probably at that point they were really in altered mental status due to hypothermia, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Things like that. Like, why was he clutching this small tree? Like, because he was dying of hypothermia, you know? It's like a lot of stuff. Like, and things like, why was her tongue cut out, but, like, the rest of her was intact? It's like, well, her face was in water, but her body was on the bank, which was more preserved by the snow, and so the soft tissue of her tongue decomposed first. It probably wasn't someone who cut her tongue out, you know? Mm-hmm. So, also, probably wasn't aliens, probably wasn't Yeti. But, to be
probably.
Fair, probably. We can't know. We can never... You know what, actually? I am going to talk about BuzzFeed Unsolved for just one second here.
I know, I was going to say, because, like, here it is, the unsolved thing that BuzzFeed should come investigate.
They did actually do... They didn't do the Donner Party, but they have done Dyatlov Pass.
They have done it.
Yeah, they had, like, a 10-minute video early on with the previous co-host, Brent. So it's Ryan and Brent talking about it. And it's like, the thing is, I love BuzzFeed Unsolved, as evidenced by the fact that I'm talking about it here. But sometimes, like, Ryan Bergara is, like, such a believer in stuff. He's like, could have been ghosts, could have been aliens, could have been demons, could have been the ghosts of alien demons. and that when he's talking to his co-host, either Brent or Shane, who are skeptics, he'll be like, but you can't rule out aliens. It's like, yeah, I guess you can't rule it out. I guess we're never allowed to rule out aliens as an option. There's, like, no point where the evidence is so... It's just like, please let us rule out aliens sometimes.
Ryan, please.
Please, Ryan. At some point, I want you to say we can probably rule out a ghost.
Listen, Sarah, you might be watching the wrong show.
I just want him to... admit that occasionally maybe we're allowed to throw out any bad theory. Like, we don't have to keep a theory on the table just because we can't disprove the existence of demons. Anyway. Away from BuzzFeed.
Yes, just gently back away. Just keep eye contact.
Ooh, boy, it's keeping him in my line of sight in case he rushes towards me while screaming, ghosts, though!
I think it does kind of raise an interesting question, though, because, like you said, there are a lot of explanations for some of the strange things about the incident. Mainly
right.
That when you're hypothermic, you basically kind of become crazy a little bit.
Yeah, you don't act in your best interest. And in fact, a lot of the later stages of hypothermia are like, almost feels like your body going like, yeah, we're definitely dying. So you want to do this, like, relaxing? You're warm now. We can't vasoconstrict anymore so that all your blood, because when you vasoconstrict, all your blood leaves your periphery to go to your core to keep the important muscles warm. But when your body's like, we can no longer compensate for how cold we are, your body relaxes, and all the blood that was keeping your core warm goes back out to your periphery, which means suddenly you're very warm again. And if you just made a small fire, you're like, dope, I'm so warm, it is time to sleep. And you sleep, and you're very warm, and that's pretty nice.
But then you are in fact dead, so that's less nice.
You are in fact
dead. And also,
I'm
kind of sad, because that was a fact that came up in The Indifferent Stars Above, and I was going to share that with you and feel very smart, and then you took it from me.
Oh, I know all about the paradoxical effects of different end-stage diseases.
Yeah, so for hypothermia, that can mean, you know, you feel warm and you literally take off your clothes. That's definitely, like, a documented thing. I always thought that was a myth, but no, that's, like, totally real, and that... you kind of lose the ability to think clearly. So a lot of the strange behaviors that, you know, they kind of saw evidence of in the past could definitely be explained by that. but it doesn't seem like there is actually an explanation for what would have driven them all out of the tent in the first place.
Well, I have to present to you the last two chapters of this book. I'm going to say, I'm not someone who doesn't mind learning the secret of magic tricks. I've never... Every time I learn how magic tricks are done, I'm usually like, that's really cool, and that's way cooler than magic, you know? So in general, I'm not really disappointed by the solutions to mysteries. And disappointed would be the wrong term for what I felt about the ending, but I did feel kind of underwhelmed. I felt both impressed and underwhelmed by this very plausible theory that he put forward. And I think it's just because, like, sometimes things are just mysterious, you know? And it's just like, let it be a mystery. Unless it's my loved one, in which case, fucking tell me what happened. So, do you want to know the dramatic, mysterious theory?
Nah, it's okay. Nah, I'm kidding.
Nah?
No, no, wait, okay. I'm kidding. We do these things for humor, you see.
Okay, well, let me run through really quickly and run through, they also eliminated, Mancy attack. I'm just gonna keep cock-teasing you with all the things it probably wasn't.
Mancy attack?
The Mancy are a indigenous group to the area. They are known to be, in general, more helpful than harmful. There really isn't any evidence of a native attack. It's not really in their nature. They're historically very peaceful. They actually helped out with the search efforts at the beginning, like, helped out a lot, because they know the area. There's no evidence, and they didn't really, they, like, held nothing sacred in that area. Because their one theory was, like, these hikers came onto Mancy sacred land and were killed, and the Mancy were like, no, there's nothing there.
Guys.
We call it Dead Mountain, because there's fucking nothing there. It's not like a mystical thing. There's just like it's just a rock. Anyway, you want us to help you find some college students?
Or do you want to keep trying to blame us for this shit?
Which one do you want to do, huh? Avalanche was a theory, but basically there's no evidence of an avalanche.
There'd be a lot of evidence from an avalanche.
Yeah, like the tent's fine. High winds that literally the winds were so high that someone went outside, maybe to pee, and they got blown away. And then, as they were shouting, other people ran out to help. And then they all also got blown away. This one is not very likely because, one of the people was found with a hat on their head, which is like, if the winds were that strong, seems like they would have lost the hat. Two, maybe one or two people ran out immediately to help this guy without bothering to put their shoes on. But like, all nine of them? Like, that's friendship taken to a dumb level.
Yeah, guys, care less.
Yeah. Put some shoes on first. And the winds were, like, probably about 40 miles per hour that night, which is strong, but, like, not hurricane strong. There's a theory of, again, armed men, but there's really no evidence. Like, also, like, what... There's also kind of like, there's, again, nothing up there, which makes it, I suppose, an ideal site for secret stuff, but it's also, like, a weird place to patrol.
Yeah.
Or to have, it's like a shitty, they were trying to get their certification here, because it's such a hard climb, you know? There was weapons testing, there's really no evidence for that. Radiation testing, like I said, it's like a normal, it's like a, there's like some slightly higher levels of elevation, but really nothing. And the Yeti, which again, is my leading theory. So there's this other one, though, which is, so, you know the term infrared. So, infrasonic is basically sounds we can detect, but not hear, in the same way that you can hear my voice, or that I am looking at sound waves of my voice right now. Infrasonic is... they have an effect on us, but they're below the level of perception. In 2003, London researchers I'm quoting, by the way, here.
Okay.
You can tell because my voice sounds smarter. In 2003, London researchers looking into the symptoms of infrasonic wave exposure hid an infrasonic cannon in the back of a concert hall in South London. An audience of 750 people was then asked to sit through four similar contemporary pieces of music, while unbeknownst to them, two of the pieces included waves generated by the infrasonic device. Afterwards, they were asked for their reactions to each piece of music. The results, 165 people, 22%, confessed to body chills and strange feelings of uneasiness, sorrow, nervousness, revulsion, and fear during the infrasonic portions. Some of the same 22% reported accelerated heartbeat or a sudden memory of emotional loss. Though the effects experienced by the concertgoers were on the milder end of the spectrum, the idea that infrasound was a hidden, silent instrument lurking among a full orchestra is a fitting metaphor for how the phenomenon presents itself in nature. A couple things. One, science is bonkers.
Yeah.
And I hope those people were paid?
I know. Seriously.
I will say, in my first skimming of this, I kind of thought they were just like, these scientists were like, hey, you're doing a concert, right? Can we put a cannon in the back and just sort of see what happens? Rereading it, it sounds a lot more like it was probably an experiment where people okayed it. But on the other hand, 750 is a lot of people. That definitely makes it sound like maybe they were already there for a concert and some scientists got on stage and they were like, hey, we just have a small experiment.
Yeah,
don't worry
about
it.
You'll find some waivers in your playbook, so if you could just sign those really quick.
Yeah, and if you don't want to, that's fine. We will say that who knows if the effects of what we're doing can be confined to merely this room. All right. Good intermission, guys. but that there's a measurable emotional and physiological response to infrasound. And the idea is that in nature, there's times where it can be produced by massive events. Wind is a big one. Basically, wind and earthquakes, like, create this sound below your perception of hearing, but has a massive effect on you.
And I think
not to everyone.
And I think I read somewhere that one of the reasons that is also that, like, it's also found in, like, tigers growling and noises like that that would sort of instantly trigger that kind of primeval hindbrain, like, predator instinct.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, and, fun fact, we can also produce it using, basically, machinery. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if there is a bunch of industrial machinery, you can create that evil, ominous hum. And it really just makes your town fucking unlivable.
Has that happened?
That's fun.
In certain towns?
Yes. There is a machinery at an industrial factory on Jug Island, which is midway between Detroit and Windsor, Ontario. And apparently it creates this hum, as it's called, the Windsor Hum, which causes disruptions to sleep cycle, disruptions to mental health, lowered quality of life. It's like this throbbing sensation of anxiety and fear. And it sucks. I mean, yeah. It sucks, and if you can't afford to move away from it, there's really no way you can block it out.
Damn.
Yeah. The Israelis have also tried using it for crowd control, to basically make it a whole crowd nauseous? Sick to their stomach and dizzy. And it's not a great weapon of war, according to the book, because it's basically has to be so carefully aimed. And it becomes diffuse fairly quickly. But it is a great weapon of breaking up a bunch of people really quick. So the theory, one of the theories is that there's this rock, Boot Rock, right around where they were set up, and Boot Rock conformed this sort of amplifier that took the high winds that were going through, including two small hurricanes that were passing on either side of the tent. Not, like, close enough to cause danger, but basically cycling around this tent. It took that sound and amplified it towards the tent. And then the author took this to Dr. Bedard, who Dr. Bedard, who is an expert in infrasonic, and he's like, no, that rock wouldn't do it. I mean, maybe, but no. And the author was like, are you sure? Here's like 100 photos of the site, you know? And then they met up again, and Dr. Bedard was like, this rock is fucking useless. But in all these photos you gave me, look at the mountain range around. And so the theory is here that basically the Ural Mountains, for where they were positioned, the Ural Mountains formed a perfect kind of cone dome that bounced, that worked as a sound amplifier. Like, have you ever been to those old sites where people, that were designed to be spoken in by people who didn't have microphones?
Kind of, yeah, where the shape of the room basically amplifies your voice across it.
Exactly, and you'll get these amazing sites where you can whisper,
yeah,
on one side, and you'll be heard in the back room, and it's just this understanding of how the sound frequencies work. That basically, the theory that this author presents is that the high winds formed two moving hurricanes, or tornadoes, one of the two, going down on either side. That sound bounced off the mountain range that was directly across from the tents, and the mountain range was formed in such a way as to be a perfect dome that basically made a death beam of sound right at this tent. The infrasound would have sounded, there would have been a sound you could hear, which is a sound like a freight train running at them. And the underlying infrasound would have made them scared, nauseous, like they were being hunted, like they're about to be run over, like almost driven out of their mind with fear. Because the London experiment was the really minor end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. If it was like a full force one, it's entirely possible that you could have basically whipped everyone in that tent into such a violent, frenzied panic that you get them, all they know is that they have to be away from this sound. I burped on that line, so I'm going to do that.
I was so into it, dude. I'm like, so, this is like so interesting. Please, yeah. Please fix your burp. Or maybe don't, it's funny.
It's cool, I'll leave it in there. So all they know is that they have to be away from the sound. So they run away from the tent as fast as they can, including the people in the back who are cutting their way out of the tent to get out. They're running, some of them are staying together, some of them are separating. Three of them run basically right over a cliff, and that's what kills them. The other ones, judging by the condition we find them in, which is that they had time to make plans, even if they were, like, not fully cognizant plans, like, again, making the small fire. Probably this, once they got away from the tent and as the winds passed, the panic faded, and then a new panic could set in, mm-hmm. which is that it is a pitch black, moonless night, and they have no idea where they are in relation to their tent. And eventually, unable to get back to their tents and unable to place where they are, and increasingly colder and colder and not dressed for the weather, they all passed away at various points in the night, some together, some alone, but probably in, I don't, like, probably trying to think, like, why did I do that, you know?
Yeah, man.
Which is, it's very, I mean, it's sad. Like I said, I mean, not that it's, not that, like, the 38-year-old is less tragic, but, like, all of them were younger than us, and we're not that old. Yeah. You're, like, 7 years old. So, yeah, so that is the theory, which I find really plausible.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems slightly, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm still hanging on to Yeti, personally.
I'm just saying, infrasound, yes, aliens using a beam? We can't rule that theory out.
Okay, whoa, wait. Here's my idea, all right?
Yeti so farted loud.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeti farted loud?
Oh, gotcha.
And made yes, infrasound with fart. What's your theory?
You know what? Actually, that one's so much better that I am shamed and I don't want to say my theory anymore.
So, it's compelling. Actually, this might sound egotistic. I kind of found it more interesting describing it than I did reading it. Maybe I just wasn't feeling this book.
Yeah, that could be it. And I mean, like, I think it sounds like a really interesting incident, you know, even when you do start picking away at some of the the explainable phenomena, there still does seem to be this kind of root cause of, like, what would cause nine incredibly experienced hikers to literally be in such a panic to get out of their tent in the middle of the night that they would cut their way out and run into the snow without shoes.
Yeah. And I know I started this by saying I was kind of disappointed in the explanation. And again, I think that's just because I wasn't feeling the book. Which I'm not even saying is a slam against the book. I just think, like, sometimes you can just feel yourself not clicking with a book that I would still recommend to, like, you, you know? But I just wouldn't recommend... I wasn't going to recommend for the podcast, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, and you also said before we began this episode, you were like, I don't have that much to say about it. I have, like, 5 minutes of material. And
I know.
We're currently on minute 55 of our recording, so...
To be fair, I also talked a lot about unrelated bullshit.
Well, that's just us,
That's just our brand. But I did find it really interesting, and I thought he did a good job of methodically ruling out stuff that didn't seem as likely. And
like aliens and
like
yetis.
Like aliens, yes. But also avalanches and high winds and, you know, I can't think of, all I can think is aliens and yetis. Like, that's literally the only other explanations I can remember. And something that I thought about with the hunger and the terror, which I'm accidentally bringing up again, but is like, when is the best time when you have an unsolved mystery to add supernatural explanation? And I think, I don't know. I mean, it's not a very exciting conclusion, but there's plenty of times where, like, this, I feel like this story would not be made more interesting in a fictional account that had aliens, but a fictional account would need to explain infrasonic, were this true.
Because, and that's the thing.
Otherwise there's no, how do you organically work that into the narrative?
Yeah, for sure. But, like, and for me, the idea of there being this explainable and yet imperceptible almost phenomena that would cause these people to just suddenly act in a way that they themselves, like, immediately afterwards would not be able to understand and then suddenly find themselves in this situation, that's actually a lot more horrifying to me than aliens, you know?
Yes. I think that's a lot more horrifying and a lot more interesting. But I can also see the difficulties it would present in a fictional narrative. But I can also see that aliens are also a difficult fictionalization. So here we are. And these are real people who still have living relatives, so it's probably in poor taste to do the full supernatural mystery treatment to them.
Yeah, probably. BuzzFeed Unsolved. Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan.
We're this is a direct call out, Ryan, whatever your last name is, because I've never seen BuzzFeed Unsolved.
I'll send you some clips.
Don't do that.
No, I'm going to send you some clips. The worst thing about being into this show now is that, like, YouTube's like, do you want to see Ryan and Shane and other BuzzFeed videos? And I'm like, no. And they're like, you sure? Here's Shane in a cheerleader outfit. I'm like,
oh my God.
Okay. Here's Ryan wearing lipstick. Please stop. Here's our series of kinks we passed off as fucking 3-minute educational videos. Why are you doing this, BuzzFeed?
Listen, they're just trying to help you, Sarah.
We didn't let Shane Madej eat solid food for 2 weeks for a 5-minute video. Why did you do this, Shane?
Wait, really?
Yeah, like, BuzzFeed videos are, like, these crazy things, which is, like, we trained, like, superheroes for 6 weeks. We made a 4-minute video about it. I'm like, the fucking effort-to-payoff ratio is so whack in that.
God, seriously.
I guess working out is its own reward. You know.
I'm imagining you doing the jerk-off gesture while making that noise. Am I correct in that?
Maybe. Maybe a little correct. Yeah, I've been... Listen, just to go back to the idea of living relatives, though, I used to be deeply into true crime. Then I was like, actually, fuck this. Which, so hard that I remember when we started this podcast, I was like, I don't ever want to do a true crime book, just because... I don't want to do that, you know?
No, yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, then, there might come a time, yeah.
Yeah. I still don't want to do a true crime book, because I feel, honestly, guilty enough goofing on this one.
Yeah.
then I got kind of tentatively back into true crime, to which my friend Catherine is like, I have 12 dozen podcasts to recommend to you. But there is sometimes, I'll just be like listening to stuff and just being like, these people have relatives, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine, like, ugh, I'm constantly so grossed out at the treatment of like Joan Benet Ramsey, where it's just like, she was like a little girl who was murdered. This isn't a hobby. So I guess I feel like, will I ever discuss a nonfiction book with you without discussing the ethics of nonfiction?
Listen, I'm just saying, it's hard to be worse than Cornelius Hickey. Yeah, we're talking about The Terror. We did it. All right.
Oh, it's me, Benjamin Hickey. I wonder if there's any stories written about my great-great-grandfather. He did what on a bed? He pooped right on it, and we're back, full circle. The circle is poop.
No, I don't like that.
The circle is poop. That's our new sign-off.
I had a cool way of tying this up, but I instantly forgot it, because I'm now thinking...
Because I tied it up.
You did. So really, whatever I was going to say is now useless and meaningless, and we can just stop recording now. I wasn't actually going to end on circle of poop, but okay, do we want...
No, no, say your thing, say your thing, say your thing.
Nope, it's not going to come to me. All right, so this was supposed to be a mini episode. It does not actually appear that it is going to be one.
Sorry, that's 100% on me.
Well, yeah, because I mean, like, I asked you to explain the book, so, like, and it was actually super interesting.
Yeah, I like the book more in retrospect than I did while reading it. Oh, can I tell you one fact, though?
Is it poop related?
No. But you are going to shit yourself when you hear it.
Oh, God. What?
So, I had this book checked out, and I was going to return it. No, I was going to check it out again, because I hadn't read it. And then they were like, well, there's a hold on it. You can't renew it. And I was like, oh, well, it's only 10 cents a day, so I'll just, like, read it today, and then return it, and I'll be like, I'll eat the 10 cents. Didn't do that. Didn't do that for another day, and 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 I still haven't returned it.
Oh my God! Are you fucking kidding me? You finished it ages ago!
I did! I don't know why I haven't done it yet!
Somebody wants that book, Sarah!
Yeah, I hope...
You're taking it from them!
I hope they got it from another person, because, well, I'm paying the price for it.
Yeah,
the price is going to be,
oh,
like, $10.
Yeah, it's too bad you didn't like this book, because you just functionally bought it.
Yeah. Did I tell you that that time I got Batman v Superman from the Redbox? I thought it would be funny to watch it, and then I forgot to return it for 20 days. So I paid $20 to temporarily watch Batman v Superman, the extended cut.
Oh my God. And here, Sarah, did you ever actually even watch it?
I did. On day 2 that I checked it out.
Oh my God.
The other 18 days were just me thinking about returning it, but ultimately not.
Oh,
and I know that's not a symptom. I know that's not a direct symptom of ADHD, nor can I blame all of my problems on that. But I'm going to, because otherwise it's a deep, innate character flaw.
Hey, it's not a flaw. It's just a beautiful part of what makes you unique and helps fund our public libraries and movie lending systems.
I would
The world
love
needs
to
more
know.
People like you.
I would love to know how much money our family has given to the library.
You gave me an estimate that I think was based on fact at one point, and I was literally horrified. And I think that was just an annual estimate at that.
I think it was just off the top of the dome. I think I said something like, well, we've easily paid $1,000 to the library, and then you died. I don't think I can't stress this enough, that's not annual.
Okay, good, yeah.
But it is a ballpark. I don't want to refine the number anymore, because I don't want it to go from 1,000 to thousands.
Yeah.
Probably not 1,000. Probably, maybe. I'm going to do some math. I'll get back to you.
All right, and in the meantime, if you guys have enjoyed our episode today, make sure that you give us a review on wherever you're getting your podcasts. And if you want to find more from us, you can find us on Twitter at SpinesCast. You can find us on Tumblr at CrackSpinesPodcast. And you can email us at CrackSpinesPodcast@gmail.com. And yes, I swear...
You can email your PayPal, which I will charge for $10, because this episode had a real financial cost for me.
Yeah, you're getting shit from me. I hope you know that, man.
Please, Amelia, please. It's all my fault, and I don't want to pay it.
No, you must suffer for your mistakes the way that the people in the Donner Party did. All right, that wasn't a great segue. But I swear, next week we are doing The Indifferent Stars Above. So,
yes.
Tune in for
and
that one.
We've said the title correctly most of the time, which is great, because we have been calling it The Unceasing Stars Above, The Indifferent Sea Above, The Uncaring Stars Above. Basically,
just swap out the adjective, and yeah.
Did you forget the word for noun?
Yes, maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. Who can say? I'm tired.
All right, well, have fun in Hawaii.
Yes, I am sure that I will, and it's going to be kind of weird finishing a book on freezing to death while in the tropics, but I guess I'll somehow manage it. It'll
Great.
Be a big burden.
I'm going to, you know, stop pooping.
Are you, though?
God willing. At least I'm not going to the hospital this week.
Well,
for
I clinical, know,
unless, not because...
unless the pooping doesn't stop. In that case, who could say?
Yeah, well...
Bye.
Okay, this has been Cracked Spines, and, we don't have a sign-off.
No, we don't. The circle of poop.
Poop comes first.
Goodbye.